Hello and welcome to the I Can Do podcast with Benjamin Lee. We're here to talk about tips and strategies to have an I Can Do mindset. Life is what you put into it. Get the most you can. Here's your host, Benjamin Lee.
I want to begin with a story. A story about a young man. For those looking in, this young man and his life, he seemed to have everything that a young man could ever want. He had a family. His father loved him tremendously. His father was also wealthy. But more important than that, his father loved him. His father cared about him. His father was extremely kind and merciful to this young man. But in the process of time, something was taking place in this young man's heart. Something was stirring. Shockingly, one day, he went to his father. He asked his father for his inheritance. You know why that's shocking, correct? He's asking for something before his father even died. How rude and disrespectful, no doubt, that would have been. Yet his father gave him his request. His father gave him his inheritance. The young man may have been thinking to himself, well, the father gave this to me. My father gave this to me. Everything is well. You see, this young man wanted to do things on his own. He wanted to live his way. He didn't want mom or dad. He didn't want anyone standing over his shoulder and telling him how he needed to live or what he needed to do. Now he had money that he had not earned. If he was living today, maybe it would have been transferred through Zelle or Cash App or something like that. Now he had this money he so desperately wanted. More important, he had this freedom that he had been desiring for such a long period of time. Every day was up to him how he wanted to live. He went as far away as he could. He engaged in any kind of behavior that he wanted to. It actually got to the point where this young man was sleeping with prostitutes. He was living in a very loose manner and fashion, but no one could tell him anything. He was on his own. He had his own money. He was living, quote unquote, his best life. But then one day something happened. He woke up one morning and his account said zero. In life, the way that that typically works, when something bad happens, have you ever experienced that before where something else bad happens on top of that as well? He woke up with no money, and to make matters worse, a famine hit the land. He couldn't go back home. He doesn't have any money. The lust of the flesh and all that he engaged in, that's not helping him at all. He knew what he needed to do, so he decided to look for work. If he was living today, maybe he would have gone on LinkedIn or Indeed.com to find some kind of job. But he couldn't find anything. In fact, there was really only one kind of job that he could actually get. It was to work with pigs. To feed pigs. But he needed money. He was by himself. He was rebellious and had a defiant heart. And so now he is feeding pigs. He has reached the lowest of the low. But it gets a little bit worse than that. He's actually a little jealous of what the pigs are eating. That's how bad his situation really became. Then one day he woke up in his isolation, without any hope or energy, friends, in his stench, in his humiliation, he muttered to himself, "Why am I feeding pigs? Why am I feeding pigs?" That's the title of today's sermon. By now, hopefully you know the story that I'm referring to. It's the story of the son, described as the prodigal son in Luke chapter 15. Will you open up your Bible there in Luke chapter 15? This story or this parable is one of the powerful parables that Jesus taught. It's a parable of a young man engaged in loose, sinful living, hitting rock bottom. This parable and this chapter as a whole shows us and reminds us about the power of repentance, about turning back to God and receiving forgiveness. It also reminds us of God's great love. This story is also a story for all of us because it gives us a warning we all need to take seriously. A warning about sin and how we view our Heavenly Father in heaven. The Bible says, Jesus says in Luke chapter 11 or 15 and verse number 11, he said, a man had two sons. The younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me. So he divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey into a distant country. And there he squandered his estate with loose living. Now, when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be impoverished. So he went and hired himself out to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed swine. And he would have gladly filled his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, and no one was giving anything to him. He was feeding pigs. Looking at this slide here, I think the slide looks very nice from that standpoint. But when I look at this pig here, that's an ugly animal right there. And it's a reminder, at least for me, about the ugly nature of sin. How it will take us to a place that we never want to be. I want to ask you three questions this morning, then the lesson will be yours. As we think about this idea, why am I feeding pigs? Number one, I want you to think about this question here. Have you ever found yourself feeding pigs? I'm not talking about working on a farm during the summertime or maybe where you grew up, but rather with the choices that you have made in your life. Sin has a way of taking us further than we ever want to go, and sin will always come with great pain. Sin can destroy and does destroy homes, relationships, and lives. And for this man, he hit rock bottom before he came to his senses and figured out the path that I'm headed on, the path that I am on, it is wrong. Have you ever found yourself feeding pigs? We don't have to find ourselves in this situation to learn the lesson. And yet, sadly, sometimes we do. But think about this. We don't have to wait until we are engulfed in sin before we understand how bad sin really is. I think about Jonah. Jonah had to be swallowed up by a fish in the ocean before he came to his senses. I need to listen to what God has to say. It's in Jonah chapter 2 that he begins to pray to God after he's in the fish during those 3 days and three nights. But we don't have to find ourselves or get to this point in life where our situation, our lives are almost on the brink of destruction and great pain to figure out that we need to listen to what God has to say. We don't have to wait till we're on the brink of a divorce. Or maybe we have found out or impregnated our girlfriend. Or start doing something or have begun doing something sinful in the eyes of God before we realize this is wrong. We don't have to get to this point of feeding pigs. Yet sadly, sometimes we do. What's better for us to do is to listen to what God has to say. We turn over to Genesis chapter 4. This is the challenge though, isn't it? Genesis chapter 4. There have been many occasions where God has spoken to man, and what we have these stories recorded for us to learn from them. Remember the story of Cain and Abel? God spoke to Cain in Genesis chapter 4 and verse number 6. Then the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry? And why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, sin is crouching at the door and its desire is for you, but you must master it. Cain, listen to the warning I am giving you right now. Did he listen? Well, he heard the words, but he didn't respond with obedience. Because we know in verse number 8, Cain told Abel, his brother, and it came about when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Have we acted like Cain and found ourselves feeding pigs? Where we hear God's word, but like the parable of the sower and the different kinds of soils, we hear but we don't understand. We hear but we don't respond with obedience. What about the story of Lot and his wife and his family? In Luke 17, Jesus, in that context, he brings up Lot's wife and he says, remember Lot's wife. Lot's wife, along with the rest of the family, had been warned by angels of exactly what they were supposed to do and how they were supposed to respond. Yet Lot's wife turned back. She found herself lost. Have we ever found ourselves feeding pigs because we have not listened to what God tells us to do in His Word? Jesus warns us. He reminds us in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7. There are two paths for us to take, for everyone to take in this world. In Matthew chapter 7, verse number 13, verse number 14, Jesus said, enter through the narrow gate. For the gate is wide and the way is broad that leads to destruction. Many, like this young man and others, are on a path that will only lead to destruction, feeding pigs. And there are many who enter through it. For the gate is small and the way is narrow that leads to life. And there are few who find it. Which path are we on? Which path are you on in your life at this very moment? Have we ever found ourselves feeding pigs? Where sin has taken us to a place of despair and ruin and destruction. We need the heart of good soil where we will listen, obey, and bear good fruit. And yet, sadly, this path that the prodigal son was on, it's a path that many people take. It's a path that many people have traveled. Can I ask all of us a question this morning? Is anyone on this path right now? The path of feeding pigs. We must guard our hearts, brothers and sisters. We need to listen to what God says and the warnings that He says. This young man took for granted his situation and his condition. That takes us to my second question. How did this young man get there? Well, we know that this young man had a terrible heart condition. If we examine his EKG or his echo and put it up to the light, we'll see that there were a lot of problems in this young man's heart. Maybe some of us can relate to him as well. I want you to ask this question or answer this question. What might be some of the heart conditions you saw or see in this young man when you hear the story? I came up with a few. Number one, when I think about this young man, there's a lack of contentment. He's with his father. He's with his family. His father is caring for him, but he failed to appreciate his current situation, the blessings that he had right in front of him. Number two, there was a lack of gratitude that this young man had as well. He had everything he needed. At some point in time, he is no longer counting his blessings and naming them one by one. But I also see a lust of the flesh. He is desiring to satisfy his flesh. We know in Luke chapter 15, when you go back there, when he comes back home, remember what his brother said concerning him about how he was living. In Luke chapter 15, in verse number 30, the Bible says, but when this son of yours came, who has devoured your wealth with prostitutes, you killed the fattened calf for him. He was engaging in the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, and the pride of life. And he was satisfying that. He was defiant in every way. He was selfish. He was determined to go down this path of sin. Now we can look at this young man and we can think about other individuals and stories or situations maybe that we have heard before. But the reality at times is that it can be very difficult for us to see the blind spots that we have, to see the faults that we have or the sinful decisions that maybe we are making as well. If we were to flip these statements around, there are some questions that we need to ask ourselves. Because if not careful, we can find ourselves feeding pigs and being in this same situation. A question we all need to consider this morning, number one is, as we think about our relationship with Christ, are we actually content with who we are in Jesus Christ? Are we content with the blessings that we have in Jesus Christ? The world is going to try to persuade us and deceive us into thinking that there is more pleasure out there, more satisfaction in the world than what we have in Jesus Christ. And yet we need to be reminded that we have everything in Jesus Christ. We turn over to Colossians chapter 2. Paul reminded the saints in Colossae in Colossians chapter 2. He reminds them, but he also warns them about philosophies. In verse number 8, he says, "See to it that no one takes you captive through philosophy and empty deception, according to the tradition of men, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ." We need to be reminded of this warning as well. There are many teachings out there for young and old, many false doctrines out there, many philosophies to get us to question or to cause us to question God's word, to question God's way. We have everything we need, however, in Christ. For in Him, Colossians 2 and verse 9, all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form. And in Him, you have been made complete. And He is the head over all rule and authority. Young people in particular, remember that you are complete in Jesus Christ. And that sin has nothing to offer you. Married couples, we need to remember this as well. We are complete in Jesus Christ. All of us need to remember that we have everything we need in Jesus Christ. Do not be deceived by the teachings of the world. We are reminded about the redemption that we have in Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 7. I'm reading these verses because we need to be content, and hopefully we should be content with who we are in Jesus Christ. When we really realize the blessings that we have, the spiritual blessings, the fact that Paul said, "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses according to the riches of His grace." That's a lot. That's everything. But the devil is so deceiving to get us to think, no, we're missing something. You don't have everything yet. But if you just go down this path to this country here, this country of sin, then you'll really have everything. Do not be deceived. We're part of a holy nation. Let's remember this nation that we're a part of as well. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9, Peter is writing to Christians who are suffering. They needed to be reminded who they were. They needed to be reminded what they were a part of as well. He reminded them about their hope in Jesus Christ. He reminded them about their salvation. He reminded them about their deliverance. He reminded them about the fact that they're part of a holy nation. 1 Peter 2 and verse number 9, "You are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession." We belong to God. If you're a Christian, you belong to the Lord. And that should give you satisfaction because you have everything, a right relationship with God. "So that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." There's nothing we are lacking in Jesus Christ. But a question we all need to ask ourselves, do we actually, or are we actually content with who we are in Christ? Or are we striving to slowly inch more and more into the world? How content are you? It's a question you have to answer for yourself. Number two, how grateful are we? Going back to Colossians chapter 2, Paul reminds us the kind of gratefulness, the kind of thanksgiving, the attitude, the disposition that all of us should have when we are in Jesus Christ. He would say in chapter 2 and verse number 6, therefore, as you have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, having been firmly rooted and now being built up in Him and established in your faith, just as you were instructed, and overflowing with gratitude. Maybe the challenge for some of us is that we're not overflowing with gratitude. We're not content in Jesus Christ because our roots are not deeply rooted. We're not as connected to Jesus Christ as we should be. We have one foot in and one foot out with respect to the being in the world. Jesus tells us to hunger and thirst for His righteousness in the Sermon on the Mount, and that's where we'll have satisfaction. And yet many times we may find it difficult to truly overflow with gratitude, to truly be content. Check the roots. Having been firmly rooted and now being built up and established in your faith, just as you were instructed. Are we following the instructions of the apostles? Abiding in Jesus Christ? Listening to what God has to say? How grateful are we? The young man in the parable, he wasn't grateful. He wanted to do his own thing. He was selfish. He wanted to live his own life. There's danger for us if not careful. The lust of the flesh consumed this young man. He became defiant. Are we becoming defiant? Have we gotten to that point? I'm just going to do my own thing. I don't care what my Heavenly Father has to say. I'm going to live my life the way that I want to live it. It is interesting how we can justify ourselves. We can do that sometimes by comparing ourselves to other people. Or we can look at our situation to try to justify certain sins that we engage in or do. Are we on the path of becoming defiant? And just not listening to the Father at all? You're going to be feeding pigs. You're deceiving yourself if you think, and so am I, that somehow this is going to work out for good. That somehow this is going to be pleasing to God. How content are we? And grateful. Being God's children. Living for Him. With the blessings and riches, eternal inheritance awaiting us. Are we feeding pigs? Maybe some of us are feeding pigs at this very moment. Our marriages, due to our sinful behavior, our sinful mindsets, choices that we have made. Is it possible to return to the Lord? Is it possible to come back home when we've gone so far to the point we're feeding pigs? Well, the answer to that is yes. Maybe there's someone here, and you've decided to live the way that you want to live. Maybe you've hit rock bottom. Maybe you have finally come to your senses. You know, the reality is sometimes that's the only thing that can wake us up. We have to hit rock bottom in some shape or form. But there's great danger with that. You do know that, right? We may die before we come to our senses and realize I need to wake up and come back home. But for the story of the parable of the prodigal son, he came to his senses. Go back to Luke chapter 15. He's feeding the pigs, but look at verse 17. But when he came to his senses, he came to himself. He said, how many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread? But I am dying here with hunger. I will get up and go to my father and will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. So many great lessons to learn from this story. Think about this young man. He came to his senses. He realized, no, this is not where I want to be. I'm going to go home. And this is such an important point for us because the devil is very deceiving when we have been disobedient, when we have decided to do our own thing, thinking that we can never go come back to our Heavenly Father. This man, though, he came to his senses and he made the decision that I'm going to return back to my God. That's what all of us must do if we find ourselves feeding pigs. Did you notice the first thing that he did after he came to his senses? He woke up and said, I don't want to live with these pigs anymore. He acknowledged his sin. He took full responsibility for his choices. He didn't blame his father. He didn't blame his brother. He didn't blame the world. He took full responsibility. In verse number 18, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. So he got up and came to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. He said that when he was by himself, when he came to his senses. When he came before his father, he said the same thing again. I've sinned. What an awesome story. Because he went home to his father. What it required, though, was acknowledgement of his sin. What it required, though, was for him to repent of his sin, to take ownership. It required that he have a humble heart. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of God. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. He finally woke up and realized his wicked behavior. He knew where to turn. There may have been some doubt in his mind regarding how he would be received, but the Father eliminated all of that. The Father is going to welcome him back with open arms. That's who we need to turn to as well. When we find ourselves feeding pigs, it's time for us to come to our senses and time for us to return back to our Heavenly Father. Feeding pigs is no way to live. The good news for all of us is that we can. We can come back home, so to speak. We can return to the Father. In verse 20, while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. There's going to be celebration. Our Father in heaven is waiting for us, if we have found ourselves feeding pigs, to come back home, to return to him. But if we're going to do this, repentance is required. That's hard. Honesty is required. That can be challenging as well. Truly recognizing the horrific nature of sin and how God views sin is something we're going to have to do. Notice as well that the young man had to take action. He didn't just sit with the pigs the rest of his life. He had to take action. He had to get up. He had to go back to his father. Brothers and sisters, there is no need for any of us, if we have found ourselves feeding pigs, to stay in that situation any longer. I'm reminded of Pharaoh with the plagues. Remember the story of the plagues, the 10 plagues in Egypt? The one with the frogs? And Pharaoh is going to talk to Moses, and Moses asks him, when do you want me to get rid of the frogs? You know what Moses, you know what Pharaoh said? Tomorrow. Why on earth would anyone want to wait until tomorrow to get rid of frogs that covered every inch of your house and your kingdom? Why on earth would any of us want to remain in sin with the frogs, with the pigs, until tomorrow? Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day to come home. Now, Satan wants us to fall into the trap of Judas. I've sinned against God. There's no way I could ever go back home. It's not true. Peter was able to return and be useful in the kingdom of God. Satan wants us to think there's no hope once we start feeding pigs that we can ever be forgiven. That's a lie. Because this man went back to the Father. Make no mistake about it. The devil wants us to think that the path of the prodigal is cheap, is fun, is exhilarating, is freedom. But the path of the prodigal is slavery. Shackled in sin. Filled with pain and regret. You know what else the path of the prodigal produces? Grief. Not just for the person, but even for God. We can grieve the Holy Spirit in Ephesians chapter 4. The path of the prodigal is not a path for any of us here, brothers and sisters. It's not the path for the children of God. We are to walk in the light, walk in love, bear fruit of the Spirit for God. But the good news is that even if we find ourselves feeding pigs, if we want to, because this man had to come to his own decision and his own senses, if we want to, we can return back home. And our Father anxiously awaits our return. Is there someone here this morning feeding pigs? Have you decided to become defiant and to reject the words of the Holy Spirit? To ignore the warnings of God? To ignore the warnings that we have all throughout the Bible? To not listen to wise counsel? To engage in the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eye, the pride of life? And to go down the path that is wide and only leads to destruction? Now is your time to come back home. If your heart is willing to turn. And if you're willing to turn and confess, if you're a child of God, confess your sins to God. He's faithful to forgive us. If you're not a Christian, it's time to come home. Your Father awaits. You must repent as well. You must be baptized for the forgiveness of your sins. It's time to come home. No one wants to keep on feeding pigs. Hopefully. But if that's you, I pray that you come to your senses before it's too late.
Once again, thank you so much for tuning in to this episode. If you are in the need or looking for more motivation in your life, feel free to check out my website, BenjaminLee.blog, where you can find hundreds of encouraging, motivational blog posts on a variety of subjects. You can find all of my books, which can also be found on Amazon.com, and other podcast interviews with a variety of people. I hope this helps. Please leave me a rating and a review. I can do, and so can you. Take care, and God bless.